What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CT&C 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Chase William, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here on a Friday. Streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. We say hello to Mitch Light from The Athletic, who joins us now. And Mitch, it is finally here. Week zero of college football. It's not a full slate, but at least we get a taste, including the Vanderbilt Commodores headed to Hawaii to make the second season get underway for Clark Lee. How you doing, Mitch?
I am doing great. And yes, Chase, excited to watch some football. I'm a big fan of week zero. I was asked the other day by someone if I liked week zero, like, what's the point? I think it's great, you know, kind of whet the appetite. And I grew up in New Jersey going to week zero games. Chase, you might be a little young for this, but the other guys, I'll remember the kickoff classics at the Meadowlands.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Every year. And I used to go. I went to an Alabama-Ohio State game in 86. I went to a Kansas-Florida State game 1 year, Texas A&M, Nebraska. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of week zero.
So we knew going into the season Mike Wright was going to be the starting quarterback for Vanderbilt. Clark Lee had made that clear. But now A.J. Swan is the backup. Ken Seals, the third string. And I bring that up because, you know, we know Vandy has used multiple quarterbacks over the years. But what's kind of your confidence level with the junior Mike Wright going into this second season with Clark Lee?
Yeah, I'm fascinated by it. Like, last year I was – you know, with injuries, you never really know. But, you know, remember, Ken Seals got hurt, and then Mike Wright got the job and then kept the job. And, you know, you never really knew if it was because Seals was still hurt or they liked Wright. I was kind of like on Team Seals, thought he was the better player. But you can't deny the offense moved better with Mike Wright, and that might not be Ken Seals' fault. It just might be more tailored to Mike Wright because of his ability to run with a suspect offensive line. You know, they're saying all the right things. He's improved and all that, but you got to wait till the action starts. And, you know, can he make the right reads on third down? Can he make the big plays? Now, he had more big plays in the passing game than Ken Seals. If you look at the stats, I don't know if that's one of those things where, you know, how like option teams have big plays because they're always guarding the run. But for whatever reason, he was able to get the ball downfield. But can you make the intermediate throws? I'm fascinated. The one thing that Vanderbilt fans can't get, like, Hawaii statistically and was one of the worst defenses in the country last year. They won't be good this year. You would expect Vanderbilt to move the ball. I'm not saying they're going to win the game, but you'd expect them to move the ball. So if Mike Wright's going to be a good SEC quarterback, he needs to prove it in future weeks. You know, obviously you'd like to see him get off to a good start. And then to your point, I was probably as surprised as anyone to see that Swan, the true freshman, was second team there. I don't know what the thinking was there. Obviously they're practice every day. I went to one scrimmage. He's a good looking player. But that's just kind of surprising to basically have a guy who started a lot of games being third team right now.
You can hear that game on 93.3 Classic Hits starting at 8 o'clock on Saturday as Vandy heads to Hawaii. Vandy, a 9-point favorite. I know Willie will probably have more on that in a second.
Well, I'm just very concerned for Mitch because for a long time he was the sideline reporter for Vanderbilt. He's missing out on the trip to Hawaii here because he's full duty now with The Athletic. I'm sure he's lamenting
it. Kevin Ingram lucked out.
I know. I used to just say that just don't get fired until after 2022. And I had to, you know. I know this is why I'm on, but I told the story on how Jim Harbaugh, I believe this story is about 95% true, how Jim Harbaugh cost me a trip to Ireland.
No.
Okay, tell the story.
Okay, so again, I can't guarantee this is 100% true, but this is kind of what I've heard. Remember Vanderbilt played Notre Dame in, what, 2018, I think it was?
Yes.
Well, there were talks, and I know this to be true. There were talks about playing that game in Ireland in week zero before the season started. But Notre Dame the next week was playing Michigan, and Notre Dame would only go to Ireland, so I'm told, is if they could move that week one Michigan game to Sunday night so they'd have an extra day. but Jim Harbaugh at Michigan refused to budge. So instead, I went to South Bend, Indiana. Lovely place instead of Ireland. So
and Vanderbilt
I'm not
very
bitter,
nearly
I'm not
pulled
bitter.
Off the upset that day. They played very well and were driving at the end of the game. That was a pretty good Vanderbilt team that I think they ended up making a bowl game that year, didn't they?
I believe so. That was a very good Vanderbilt offense. Yeah, and really, I mean, just not to rehash, you know, had some turnovers at the goal line there. That was an exciting, like you said, that was a legit Vanderbilt offense. And that was earlier in the year before Notre Dame switched to Ian Book at quarterback.
That's right.
Notre Dame got better that year as well, too. But, hey, you go up to South Bend and you play well. That was a fun trip. I shouldn't complain about that.
So what do you speaking of Ireland, Nebraska taking on Northwestern tomorrow in Dublin. I think this is a big year for Scott Frost and the Nebraska Cornhuskers because he hasn't lived up to the hype, per se, since he's been there.
It's a massive season. And this is, I mean, I can't, you know, we're in college football, we exaggerate sometimes, hot seats. I can't remember a bigger opener for a coach in a while. I mean, he has to win this game. It just, Northwestern, obviously a solid program. They played in the Big Ten Championship game two of the last 4 years, I believe, but they were 3-9 last year, as was Nebraska. You know, Nebraska's got a new quarterback, Casey Thompson. By the way, too, like, remember Charles Thompson, Willie, the old Oklahoma quarterback. His son, Casey, has played for two teams, Texas and Nebraska, not Oklahoma. Like, you think, Oklahoma, great quarterback. Which two teams is your son going to play for? Those are, like, the two biggest rivals. So, I'm totally fascinated by what happens here. I still think Northwestern had some problems on offense. Ryan Helinski, remember him from South Carolina, is the quarterback there. He just hasn't panned out. They have some good running backs. I think Nebraska has more overall talent. It's going to be a fun game to watch and, just going to be a ton of pressure on Scott Frost and that staff to get it done.
I love the idea. In fact, I just drove right past that stadium. I didn't get a chance to go in, but it's a beautiful stadium in Dublin, right in the thick of the city there. I'm just picturing all these Nebraska fans infiltrating Dublin, Ireland, and taking over the pubs and things like that. That's going to be an interesting culture shock for people on both sides of it.
Yeah, if you on the Athletic podcast network, the Audible, with Stu Mandel and Bruce Feldman, they had Mitch Sherman on yesterday in this week's podcast, and Mitch is our Nebraska writer, and he is in Dublin, and he was kind of setting the scene. He, at the time of the podcast, he'd only been there for like 12 hours, but he said it's just, the town does no one knows much about college football there at all, but they do a really good job of promoting the game. This was interesting. He said there's no, I don't know why, you can't buy tickets the day of the game. No walk-up. You can't buy them at the game. You have to pre-order them. And he said there's no press box. So he just, they're going to set up tables somewhere. So he was just hoping it didn't rain, basically.
Now, with Rocco Griffin coming, let's go back to Vanderbilt because they got their game this weekend in Hawaii. And it's going to be a big game for them because their schedule before they get into SEC play should be favorable to them in regards to at least having a winning record heading into SEC play. But they do return their leading rusher from last year and one of their leading receivers, Will Shepard from last year as well, if I'm not mistaken. Do you believe this team will be a better team when it comes to the skill position and in turn that will help out the quarterback?
Yeah, I think so, Derek. And, the number one running back is actually Ray Davis, who was a transfer from Temple who got hurt in week two last year, I believe, and had a really good camp.
And he was having a great game in the game he got hurt. It was against Stanford, where they played a very good first half here in Nashville. I was at the game, and it was too bad because I think it also gave Rocco a chance to play more, so you've got more than one guy that you feel pretty good about.
Yeah, and I thought Patrick Smith, the freshman from New Jersey last year, was pretty good too. So I know I've heard the coaching staff say this kind of both on and off the record that they think, the running back is their deepest position, and they're going to try and get multiple guys on the field. I would say they don't have a lot of depth at wide receiver, but the frontline guys should be good enough for what they want to do. Like Will Shepard, I thought was really good last year. There's a freshman, Jaden McGowan, true freshman, you'll see a lot of, I think, on Saturday. Maybe a slot guy. They like him a lot. And then Quincy Skinner, I believe, is a sophomore. Didn't play a ton as a freshman last year. So I think the skill guys will be better. And I think they're going to tailor an offense to take advantage of Mike Wright's skills. I mean, he is a legit, really good runner. I mean, he's an open fielder, can make guys miss. So yeah, sure, if you can get the running game going, I mean, football's a pretty simple game. If you can get the running game going, it makes it a lot easier to throw the ball there, so too. So I'll be interested to see how they match up skill. And you would think in this game that they'll have the advantage in the offensive line, at the line of scrimmage. You know, I've talked a lot about Vanderbilt games in the past against inferior opponents and sat here and said, yeah, they're going to control the line of scrimmage. They should be able to run the ball. There's been games where they've done that, and there's been a lot of games when they haven't. I look back to the ETSU game last year. It was alarming how they couldn't push the pile at the line of scrimmage. So I think that's something you're going to have to look for early in this game.
Mitch, there's not a lot of other really, you know, games of interest. I know Nick Kieser, our producer, is really excited about Western Kentucky opening up against Austin Peay tomorrow. That game is on CBS Sports Network. But is there any other game that has your attention that you're curious about among the matchups that we do see week zero here?
Yeah, you caught me. As I told you, I'm in the car right now, so I don't have the schedule in front of me. Illinois.
How about Duquesne, Florida State? Can't wait for that.
I'm recording that one so I can watch it Monday by myself and really digest. But hey, remember what happened to Florida State, Jacksonville State last year, so don't joke too much.
Yes. You've got Illinois against Wyoming.
Yeah, that's intriguing. You know, Wyoming has had some good offenses in recent years. They've gotten killed in the portal. They lost the top two wide receivers there. I think their quarterback as well. So Illinois is a sneaky team that some people really like in the Big Ten this year. Brett Bielema kind of made a splash when he took over, and you know they're slowly building there. So it's sort of like these Week Zero games. You know, other than Nebraska and Northwestern, when you think the teams are pretty evenly matched, it's a lot of barometer. Like, you know, Illinois, that's a game they should win, but how do they look doing so? So yeah, I mean, I'll be watching from 11 on until, you know, whenever the Vanderbilt game ends. But I would probably single out Illinois as one team that I'm very curious about.
I'll tell you another one real quick, Mitch, simply because of the coach. Is Charlotte taking on Florida Atlantic? Will Healy, of course, who was at Austin Peay, now at Charlotte. I feel like that maybe things have stalled out a little bit, that I thought he was on a pretty fast track and could be getting a bigger job. But I'm curious to see how Charlotte – does this year. They're a 7.5-point dog at FAU to start week zero.
Yeah, I'm with you. They definitely took a, you know, step back or a half a step back. It's just difficult at that level, you know, to sustain that momentum and to keep your roster intact. I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, programs like that, you know, in this offseason tended to get hit in the portal there. So, yeah, you know, it would have been easier after year one there to sit here and say, you know, I know there was flirtations with the Vanderbilt job. I don't really know how serious it was in the Vanderbilt end, you know, depending on who you talk to. And I thought maybe he made sense at Duke last year. You know, Duke had an opening and they went with Mike Elko, but I never really saw his name mentioned there. So, but he's still really young. So, you know, we can't sit here and write him off. But I'll agree, Chase. I think that's because of his local ties, we're going to pay more attention. But that's a program that you kind of – would think they think internally that they need to bounce back to kind of change that momentum.
Well, we will certainly be watching this weekend. And, Mitch, we're going to make this a weekly thing, so we'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it as always.
All right, sounds good, guys. Take care.
Mitch Light, The Athletic, talking some college football with him. Coming up next, what is our pulse on the Vanderbilt Commodores as they open their season in Hawaii? They are a pretty heavy favorite against Hawaii. We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason hanging out. Nick Kieser as well, our fabulous producer behind the glass. Our poll question today at 102.5, The Game on Twitter. We are asking how many Titans games you're planning to attend this season. And the results are, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not surprised by these results at all. Mm-hmm. Zero or watching on TV is 39.2%. So almost 40% of you are saying that you'd rather just sit home and watch on TV a team that has won back-to-back division titles and could potentially win a third and do who knows what else.
That's not even going to one game.
No.
That's really interesting.
I'll just watch on TV. 1 to 5 games, 45.4%. 5 or more, 15.5%.
Well, we want to keep people voting, and also we'd love to get some more specific stuff. If you have voted on our text line, tell us more detail. why you want to go or why you don't want to go. What are the things you're looking for when you go to the stadium? Will you go to a road game? Are you more apt to use your budget and travel somewhere and see a place you've never seen before rather than use that same money to go to our stadium here? 615-737-1025. We just want to get as much feedback as we can. A lot of hype for the season, big season for the franchise. They've been building for a long time. They've been close, home playoffs the last two years. Mm-hmm. So what's the excitement level? What's the level of commitment from the fans? But this tells you that there are a lot of people that are entrenched in their ways of just hanging out and watching on TV.
But do you guys feel, because there was a different feel last year at the beginning of the year than it is this season?
How so?
I just think fans were more excited about last year. I mean,
really?
About last year's season than the upcoming season because of where the Titans, you know, what they had did. AFC Championship game. Then, yes, they lost to Baltimore in the second round, but they had a home game. And I think after that, I think people were really excited because they figured Derrick Henry off of a 2,000-yard season, you know, A.J. Brown, he's proven that he's the guy in his league for this team. You know, the offensive line seemed to be, you know, put together. Everything seemed to fall in place last year. And I think the excitement going into the season, the buzz was a little bit different than it is this year.
I think I know why. I don't think you're wrong. Uh-huh. I actually think you're spot on with that. Mm-hmm. And here's why. Nobody's buying this Ryan Tannehill had a good camp stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there are still questions with him. Mm-hmm. As far as the fan base is concerned.
Yeah.
The fan base, I think, overall, looks at him and they go, he threw three interceptions in the playoff game and they lost after being the number one seed. He didn't have a great season. We've talked till we're blue in the face of why all that is, mm-hmm. and given reasons why that could have been. But I think until people see Tannehill is improved in games and this offense is improved and it's not just defense, because, Derek, you know from your playing days, I mean, defense wins championships, mm-hmm. but people want to see the big passes. They want to see the touchdowns. They want to see the sexy offense. That's what they want to see.
Offenses put butts in the seats. Defenses are going to win you championships. That's basically what it is. You come to see high-powered offenses. If this team, you know, I mean, if this team was scoring 40 points a game but giving up 30, there would be a packed house. Why? Because they know they're going to get touchdown after touchdown after touchdown after big play. And that's what fans want to see. And I don't know if they believe they will get that. And I think part of it is because A.J. Brown's not here anymore.
Yeah.
And they don't know. They're like, what is the receivers going to look like? We knew last year what the receivers were going to look like. We were excited about Julio Jones, even though that didn't work out. We knew what A.J. Brown was going to be, Derrick Henry in the backfield. People were excited about the potential this offense had. I don't know if they think the same this year, Willie.
I think there is probably a little bit of worry or cynicism. Hey, I'm afraid to go all out because of I've been burned the last couple years. And I think you're right. There's a little more question, especially of the offense. The other factor that I think will be something they'll have to battle is some of the teams that come in here, and this is every year, but I think maybe especially this year, the Raiders, they've got fans all over the place, mm-hmm. right? They love to gather wherever they're playing, even if their home city has changed several times. Giants fans, there'll probably be a fair amount on opening day. We know what happens when Dallas comes in here, right? Dallas has fans everywhere. Denver, I think, will be mm-hmm. a team that brings a lot of fans. So just trying to control that number.
I think the Bengals could, depending on how they are at that point.
They're
that's
coming,
the playoff rematch.
They're right up the road, right? It's a very drivable game. So I think that's what I'm looking for. I would like to see improvement because I don't mind when there's a cross-section of fans from the other team. I think that adds life to the games. We know when you're sitting there at an NFL game, one of the biggest things, no matter where you are, is all the TV timeouts and the downtime. It gets monotonous sitting there. A lot of times, as opposed to when you're at home, you can flip the channel to the other game or you know, if you got people over, you're socializing. It's a little different, right? It's a very attractive sport to watch at home. And so I think when you have the other team's fan there, it livens up the atmosphere some. But if you have too many of them, then it's kind of, oh, man, these guys are having too much of an impact on the atmosphere here. So they are playing a lot of teams that will bring some fans. If they can control that, that'll be a good thing.
615-737-1025. A lot of you want to weigh in on this. How many Titans games do you plan to attend this year and why? You can also vote on our Twitter poll at 1025 The Game. Wes in Clarksville says, I'm going to four or more at least. Went last weekend, and the concession prices shock you. $9.50 for a souvenir soda. But he's still going to go. Mm-hmm. Got another texter, one game, and that will be the Bengals. The others will be watched at home. It's hard to pay for lower seats every home game as a single woman. I refuse to sit in the top levels. Traveled last year to New England, but no away game destinations were exciting for me.
That's a question I'd love to hear some people build on mm-hmm. on the text line. And that it may weigh in, but vote for sure on our Twitter poll. How many games are you going to? But what are you willing to pay to sit in the upper deck? Because I increasingly over the years have heard feedback just like that last texter.
Yeah, I'm not.
That people they'd rather not spend the money to sit in the upper deck because they'd rather just sit at home. I'm not one of those people. I love when I go.
I used to not be, but now I am.
When I go to Titans games and I'm in that category, I usually go to 1-3 as a fan. I usually take my son over there or some buddies of his too. We go. I sit in the upper deck. I don't mind it. I'll pay $20, but I'm not going to pay more than that. That's the thing. Where you get in trouble is if you're trying to get those premium prices, you're trying to keep those prices up high for upper deck seats. That's when you're going to lose the battle, especially at that stadium where you know the concession stands are not going to be state of the art. They're not going to have the high tech ways to move you in and out of the concession lines. If it's a hot day or a cold day, mm-hmm. it's not fun to sit up there. If you're going there because you want to have a good, quote, game experience, you're going there to see the game.
So I will answer that question for the Giants game in week one. Mm-hmm. Willie, I can put you in section 303, row double B. And okay. I will tell you how much you'll have to pay.
Okay.
We'll do that coming up next, plus continue to take your texts and your calls. How many Titans games do you plan to attend this year and why? It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. 615-737-1025. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace taking your texts. It's a little tiny dancer.
Well, actually, I'm glad you threw that out there. I'm flipping on the morning shows today, and they're buzzing about this song. This is Britney Spears and Elton John, a reboot of Tiny Dancer.
Nice.
What's the name of the song, Nick? It's Hold Me Close?
It's Hold Me Closer.
Hold Me Closer.
Came out last close. Night.
They dropped it last night.
You was close.
I was close.
Yeah.
But that was Britney Spears' first song since the release of the weird thing with her dad and the, what did they call
the
it?
Oh, conservatorship.
Yeah.
Conservatorship.
So, yeah. Britney's free. We got a new song. It sounds
free Britney.
Sounds pretty good.
Again, how many Titans games do you plan to attend this year and why? 615-737-1025. But Willie, you asked how much you would pay to sit in the upper deck.
Yes.
And I told you. I can put you in section 303, row double B. It costs you $149
per ticket.
Yep.
That's a no go. I mean, I'm not paying that. I don't know who is.
You got to wait to game day.
Well, that's what I would do is wait and then try to work it. Mm-hmm. Maybe opening day, I'd be willing to go a little higher.
But that is why, you know, and I'm sure just about every, you know, stadium is running into that problem, and they're trying to find a way to fix, you know, to make it because football has gotten to a point where it's not affordable for everybody.
No,
it's not affordable for the
affordable
fans.
For
exactly,
anybody.
It's not affordable for the fans, let alone the Super Bowl. I mean, that's just you might as well forget about that. But I'm just talking every week games. It's getting to a point where you know you got to decide, you know. Do we want to go to a game this week or do we want to save up for something else? And I just think the NFL needs to truly fix that problem. If they indeed, you know, say they care about the fans, and I'm sure they do, but the ticket prices doesn't show that you're willing, that you care about the fans that much in regards to coming to your stadium and watching you play.
All right, let's rifle through some text messages because a lot of you have weighed in on this at 615-737-1025. Unnamed texter, and put your name. I'd rather spend money at a sports bar with my gambling app. I think there's a lot of people. Yeah. Look, I mean, I'm kind of right there. Like, I get it. Like,
hey, I
feel
you.
That's kind of what's happened now. Yeah. I mean, you can sit, you can watch all the games, you get better cell service, and you can bet. So there you go. Gene and Spring Hill.
I wonder if the betting budget now for a lot of new bettors affects that.
Probably.
Whereas maybe it didn't before. And Derek, you mentioned the Wi-Fi at the stadiums sometimes can be shaky.
Yeah.
You want to be able to make moves on your phone, and it's not easy to do that, not easy to monitor what's going on in other games. That's always a big thing. When you go to a game, I know the Titans try, but they're not nearly as up-to-date as highlights from other games that I would like to see. Like, I would like to get quicker updates somehow with how they work it. There's plenty of downtime during a game. We know that. A lot of TV timeouts. I'd rather, unless the promotion is really entertaining and exciting, which a lot of times it's not, right? It's the same old, same old. Just give me more data, more stats, more highlights. Let's go to Pittsburgh. Here's what just happened. You know, there's so many TV timeouts. You could take advantage of that.
Gene in Spring Hill, I plan on going to one of my other favorite team games versus the Titans, either against the Giants or the Raiders. Will from Nashville, agree with D-Mace. Also, there was a ton of buzz around Julio, obviously. Okay, I don't know where he was going with that. Sorry.
Well, they don't have that same kind of thing, that exciting offseason move that you had with Julio Jones. That was real.
Yeah, West, absolutely.
I was at opening day last year. People were dying to see Julio, and it kind of
fizzled out.
The rug got pulled out.
Wes in Clarksville said Cowboy tickets, nosebleeds, are $250 and up.
I think Chase would pay $250 for a Cowboys
for
ticket. Yeah, for Cowboys
I already got tickets.
I know you do, but I'm saying that's your team.
I jumped on it.
There you go.
I might have to do
this. This is y'all year.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get an Emmitt Smith jersey, and I'm going to split it in half, and then I'm going to get one of your jerseys. It's not a Jets jersey that you gave me, and split it in half and wear the Mason and Emmitt Smith split jersey.
There you go.
See, I think it would be exciting marketing to market the Upper Deck as an affordable, hey, face value. I know we could probably make more on this, but we're going pick a price, $30. $20, you know, whatever you think it is, but not what we're talking about here. Now, are you pulling out things on the secondary market?
I just went to Ticketmaster.
On Ticketmaster, I think they throw in are doing to try to resell their tickets.
Probably is secondary at this point.
But, there are some creative packages that the Titans have where you don't have to buy the PSL, but you can get a package of games, two games, four games, et cetera. To where you can probably get a better deal if you buy multiple games. So there's ways around paying the prices that you're throwing out there. But I just think as a general rule, you say, hey, look, it is what it is up there. And we love that you're there. We want you to bring your kids, but we want to make it affordable for you to get in there. Because we know it's not the easiest place to get in and out of. It's one of the worst in the league if you get down to it. You're not going to get the greatest concessions up there. So we're going to keep it affordable up there. I'd like to see that approach. Not just here, but everywhere, really.
Glenn and Greenbrier, the Titans game day atmosphere is lacking as it is, and I'm out at that price point. What do they need to do to make the atmosphere better? I mean,
there's nothing they can do.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more.
Even with the stadium.
Lower the price. That's my point.
Yeah. That's the only thing they can do beside building a new stadium is to lower the ticket price.
Yeah,
because not only are you paying for tickets, you're paying for parking.
Yeah, and and what you get with that too, you'll get more of the other team's fans, and so that's the trade-off, right? You're going to have some of that, but if you want to fill it, to me, that's probably the give and take a little bit. Not try to maximize every dollar, but maybe sacrifice a little bit of ticket revenue in exchange for more people that are in.
But the Titans don't have control over what Ticketmaster sells.
Yeah, once you've bought the ticket, you have the right to sell it for whatever you want.
Yeah, so they could have bought the ticket at a lower price.
But still, I think face value for Upper Deck is
it's still over $100,
$60, $65, something like that, which to me is too much.
Yeah, especially if you're, you know, you figure if it's a family, let's just say if it's a family of three or four, that's 20, that's 32, that's $320. Let's just say $320 for tickets. That's not with tax or anything, just $320 for tickets. Then you got to pay for parking. That's what, about $40, $50. Then you got to pay for the food.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably at least $200 all in just to go to the game.
Yeah.
At least. At the very least. And
you're saying just to go to the game, just to sit your tail in the seat.
No, well, I mean, I'm
one person, two people, when you say 200.
Well, 200, that'd be one person.
That's
right.
One person,
so,
I mean,
so it's going to be more than that. Because depending, like you said, on parking.
You're saying in the upper deck.
Yes. Now, I will say that what I do when I go as a fan, I park across the river, usually like over Music City Center or something like that, $20 max for parking, and then I just walk. So you can save some money doing that way. But if you park, I mean, I've seen it at $60, $70 by the stadium.
Oh, my gosh. $60 or $70.
Which, I mean, that's just people taking advantage. Exactly. I mean, that's what that is. Yeah. Look, if I owned a parking lot over there, I would do the same thing.
I mean, hey, I'd do the same thing, yeah.
Well, we talked about this in regards to the soccer stadium. If you want to work at it a little bit, there are ways to get in there. Now, I have an advantage living in East Nashville. I can get dropped off and walk. And so that takes the parking out for me. You know, as we've talked about over the years with concessions, if you're coming there thinking you're going to get cheap concessions, it ain't happening. So you can prepare and say, I'm going to lower that cost by eating beforehand. I'll jump in with somebody at the tailgate. We'll do all that. And we won't pay the $10 for the soda. Or you just have to work
beer,
it into the plant. There are games where, and I think, this is what's happening. There's probably less of these games than there were about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. You used to be able to kind of walk up there and you would see, and I did it many times, just buy $20 tickets in the upper deck. There'll be people with fistfuls of $20 seats selling them around the stadium if you wait till game time and the tickets aren't sold. Now, there's a little bit more demand maybe than there was 5 years ago. But I do think there will be some opportunities for that. So I don't think every ticket, I don't think everybody's paying $100 or more to sit in the upper deck.
Yeah, I don't either.
For one reason or another, you're buying in bulk or you're buying on the spot.
But on average, it has to be at least $60, $70 on average.
Here's the text I've been looking for. Ethan in Kingston Springs. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to 1-3 games. I love fall football, but I'm not convinced Tannehill has changed. And I think Ethan is speaking for a good bit of people. That's what I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, that's the, you know, it's, I need to see it first. Because what I've seen already isn't enough to get me excited to go to the games. And they lost their best offensive weapon outside of Derrick Henry. So why am I clamoring or jumping over, you know, hurdles to get to the game? You know, people are just like, wait and see. I'm going to see what they do and kind of go from there. Yeah, I will support them, but I will support them from my house. You know, so.
Yeah, I think that's what they'll do. 615-737-1025. You all can continue texting in on this. How many Titans games do you plan to attend this year? And why? Now, in our poll on Twitter, 0 or watching on TV, and 1-5 games are tied at 42.5%. And then 15%, 5-8 games. So that's where people are. I mean, less than 5 games is kind of the average that we're seeing right now in our Twitter poll. We'll continue this conversation. Guys, I have suit duties for a second, so I have to step away. But we'll continue. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace continues here on 102.5 The Game. Friday continues to roll on. We've got football coming up tonight. The Game Blitz at 6 o'clock with Joe Dubin, Elijah Campbell, from 6 until midnight. Hardest working guys on the high school scene. If you're driving around to your local high school game, make sure you either listen on 102.5, 106.3, and, of course, the Game Nashville app. You can pick it up anywhere you're going, get the scores from the other games, find out what happened. Maybe you'll hear your coach come on. They're going to do all kinds of that stuff, up-to-date scores throughout the evening, and make it your plan every Friday night here on The Game. Meantime, let's talk, Derek, about what's at stake on Saturday. By Tuesday, every NFL team is going to have to reduce the roster to 53. So it's a little bit before. It used to be over Labor Day weekend. I always remember it on Labor Day weekend. There would be a lot of antsy people. So it's a little bit earlier now. You get that preseason third game under your belt, and you've got some time to shape your roster between that day and opening day, which is not – so you have basically a bye week where you don't play, and then everything starts for real. So one of the things that will be a huge debate because of everything that goes into building your roster is, do they keep the three quarterbacks? And you've been pretty outspoken today and really all week that if it's close between Malik Willis and Logan Woodside, you'd rather just make Malik Willis the backup, even if he may not be ready to do that yet. If it's close between him and Woodside, then just go ahead and move on from Woodside or try to pocket at him on the practice squad. You sticking with that?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with that. Because to me, it would be different if Logan Woodside, you know, was at a, in regards to backup quarterbacks, if Logan Woodside was at a 10 and or an 8 and Malik Willis was at a 4, I can see them saying, okay, there's no way we can put this young man in the game and expect anything from him. We would be doing more harm than good to him. If that was the case, then okay. But that's not the case. I think that race at the backup quarterback position is a lot tighter than maybe the Titans thought it was going to be. You know, I think Malik Willis has picked up, because the thing with the Titans and Malik Willis was, they said, listen, he's picking up the offense. That's not a problem. It's just the processing, him processing it fast enough on the field, him seeing it and throwing it, or seeing it before it's open and throwing it. That's why Vrabel said, we got to get him to release the ball. He doesn't need to run. We know he can run. We need to see him throw the ball. He needs to hit that back foot and throw it. What happened first play of the game? Play action, boom, hit him in the middle of the field. Vrabel said, that's what we want to see. So obviously, what they're telling him, what he's learning in the classroom, is translating to the field. If it continues to translate to the field this weekend, tomorrow versus Arizona, it's a no-brainer. Because the race is too close to keep Woodside as your backup.
So what will you be watching for on Saturday, specifically from Willis, to tell you that he's made progress from the start of training camp? Everybody asks that question, it seems like, every day, either to Malik Willis, to Mike Vrabel, if they have a chance to ask the offensive coaches. That's getting asked, the daily progress. And I still am looking long-term, like, where is he going to be at midseason, behind the scenes? Where is he going to be through the offseason next year? I'm looking more at next year for Malik Willis. But if you're going to go on the fast track and say, I'd love for him to be the two, what will you be looking for tomorrow?
I think you can have it, and you're right, Willie. It's to have that macro view is good when it comes to Malik Willis. But I think you can have a micro view of it too. Like, okay, what does he do? I know what we want from him long term, but what are we seeing short term that gives us confidence that he can be our backup? Not to say that he's anywhere close to Ryan Tannehill, but what do we see? Do we see enough? Because they saw enough in Logan Woodside last year that they made him a backup. So what are we seeing the same things with Malik Willis that we saw with Logan Woodside last year? And ultimately, we made the decision to make him our backup. So what I'm looking for is, has he continued his progression from game one, two, to now game three? I want to see him command a huddle a little bit better. I want to see him, you know, step up in a pocket. I don't want to see any no follow throughs, just throwing, just using your arm. I want to see him, if he possibly can, I want to see him follow through on every throw that he makes. I want to see him hit that third guy. I do want to see him get out the pocket a little bit, rollouts or something like that, to see how he throws the ball on the move. I think he does an adequate job at throwing the ball on the move because he's proven it. So those are the things that I want to see. And I want to see, too, is he continuing to – was last week just one of those deals where they talked to him so much last week that it was just ingrained in his head last week? I want to see if it's still there. Back foot, throw the ball.
In other words, try to make it more natural. You're not thinking too much. I don't have too much rolling around in my head.
I don't want to have to coach – I don't want him to be one of those guys where the coach has got to constantly remind you to do this, do this. No, I just want to see it. I want to see how natural you look. I want to see you look the same way you looked at Liberty, that fluidness and just being a natural quarterback and playmaker. I want to see that this third preseason game because you're not playing against starters.
Yeah, you can see that there's a lot of processing that's going on even before the play. Like when he's you can tell he's looking over to the sideline, he's getting the play in his headset, he's getting it in there. That word command that you just used, I think, is something that he's still getting through, which is why I don't want to rush him. I don't want to have to, in a worst-case scenario, I don't want to have to rush him into duty too quick. I want him to keep working on that because that's going to come over time. Now, let me throw a theory at you. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that privately they could have a conversation with Logan Woodside and say, look, you know, we're going to need this extra roster spot for an extra cornerback, offensive lineman, whatever falls on the waiver wire here? Because Tuesday is going to be a free-for-all, right? There's going to be hundreds of players cut, and people are going to look around and see who's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Where maybe you could tell Woodside, look, I don't want you to panic if we waive you.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't showed you much. You haven't played in any games. We feel confident that you're going to slide through, and we want you to still be on our practice squad. I don't know. That affects his salary, right? He wouldn't be paid the same if he's on the practice squad.
I don't know how.
And somebody could pick him up at any time. But it's hard for us to see right now. I think we all agree that if he were cut, we would be surprised if another team grabbed him.
Oh, of course. I would be surprised. Unless – someone like the Giants grabbed him just because, and we've seen teams do this, they grab a player just because they play them the next following week, you know?
Oh, yeah, I guess that would be.
They pick up a player.
Tell us everything you know.
So they could, in theory, a team could, in theory, do that with Logan Woodside. But outside of that, I don't think no one's fighting to say, oh, we want to sign Logan Woodside. I can't wait to. I hope the Titans cut him because we want to sign him. He hasn't shown anything, and the stuff that he has shown hasn't wowed me. It hasn't proven to me that he's the backup either.
In a perfect world, if you could get through that gamble, you have the extra roster spot to address the position that you need, and you would be able to, if, knock on wood, if Tannehill were to get hurt, you would finish that game with Malik Willis, and then you would have the decision to make if – Tannehill, we're going to miss the next couple of games. Remember, if Tannehill goes out for the season, your season is screwed, and that's the case with probably 25 out of the 32 NFL teams for one reason or another. Your season's done. But if in that scenario, you know you're going to get Tannehill back, but you got to get by for a couple of weeks, you would then have maybe the choice of activating Woodside, and he could still be your backup. You keep him involved, and if you feel like Willis is – you know, progressed a lot, and you want to roll the dice with him, then you could do that too. That would be perfect scenario to me, and exhaust all of the options that you have.
I mean, that is an option for the Titans, but I don't know how much of an option it is.
Because you're risking
realistic
losing,
an option
you're risking
it is.
Losing Woodside.
Exactly. So I don't think I don't think the Titans believe that if they indeed do cut Woodside, put him on a practice squad, that someone would then come and get him. I don't think he's not one of those guys. He's just not one of those guys that you're just waiting for a team to cut so you can pick him up. Now, will he get a job somewhere else? I'm pretty sure he would get a job on a, on another team as a backup. But I don't think anyone would be rushing other than from a strategic standpoint. You know, picking him up. We got to play him, pick him up, see what we can learn from him, and then kind of go from there. But, again, if Malik Willis goes in and shows that he has the poise that it takes to play in this league, and that his knowledge and his knowledge of the offense and his ability to, you know, sort of scan the field and know what the defense is doing is, if he's shown that he's gotten better from week one and two, and now you put him in week three, and you see all those things, and you think in your head, the offensive coordinator and Vrabel and John think in their head, like, okay, we got something here. Then why not make him your backup quarterback? Because if he was a first or a second round guy, you would make him your backup.
Right. You know? That is something we pointed out earlier in the show, and I think it is very significant. The fact that he's a third round pick and not a first round pick. Mm-hmm. Has everybody from the outside in a little bit of a different mindset. If he were a first-round pick and there was more invested in him,
exactly,
you might have him on a faster track, even though he's still the same guy. He's still the same guy that you knew going in, had a high learning curve because of the offense he played at Liberty. He was, exactly. It was a spread offense where it's not under center very much. There were very, very different reads. You were just getting the play from the sideline. And so it's a much different animal here. So you knew there was going to be some time that it was going to take. But when you're a first-round pick, everybody thinks you should be in there sooner than later. So the fact that he's a third-round pick gives you the opportunity to slow-walk him a little bit, give him more time to learn. But the roster thing is a real thing, for sure. And there is an issue with maybe you could use an extra guy on the offensive line, an extra defensive back. Roster flexibility, that one spot does make a difference. All right. We're going to talk to Terry McCormick about this to start the next hour. We'll get his thoughts on what to look for tomorrow in the preseason finale. Also, we continue to invite your feedback. We want to ask this question. You can follow us on Twitter at 1025thegame. How many Titans games are you planning to attend this year? Vote and let us know how you feel and provide some detail. How much money would you spend to sit in the upper deck? What's your mindset in your decision of how many games you're going to go to? 737-1025. That's 615-737-1025. Our text line brought to you by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're getting some great feedback, such as, let's see, this is the unnamed texter. Planning on attending one because the ticket was given for the 5K race. The product on the field needs to be fun to watch. I'm planning to go to several Tennessee Vols games simply because the offense is fun and fast. That's the Derek. What's the Derek line? Offense
puts butts in the seats.
And
defense win you championships.
He says, the Titans ground game is great, just not something I'll pay $200 to watch in person. We're getting a lot of that with the feedback on the text line. But tell us what you think. 615-737-1025 and vote on our Twitter poll at 1025 The Game. Terry McCormick next here on 1025 The Game. This is Chase, Willie, and D-Mace.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle Grow Raised Bed Soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle Grow Raised Bed Soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save